And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, the text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in, call it in, same number both times. I am interested to hear your thoughts on the monologue, for that matter, anything else. And then I'm also interested in hearing about people who are still recovering from the Iron Bowl. You're an Auburn fan, right, Butters? Am I correct in saying that?
I am.
Indeed. You were an Auburn alumni, I believe.
I am a proud graduate, and that's where I joined the Navy, was right there out of Auburn doing ROTC, all that kind of good stuff.
Nichols Hall over there at Auburn?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
My granddaddy's picture hangs in the Army side of Nichols Hall.
I stayed away from that side.
Yeah.
As I try to stay away from the Army for the most part.
You don't want to try to cross over. Those guys would rough you up. Just rough you up a bit. Rough you up. Let me jump in here real quickly on some of these text messages before I run out of time. Brian from Huntsville, talking about the monologue, says, I wonder if Veruca Salt inspired Boss Hogg in Dukes of... I don't know that I'd ever made that correlation, but perhaps it is true. I don't know. Veruca Salt, Boss Hogg.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they were both kind of pudgy. I don't know.
Is that all we got to go on?
I don't know.
Alif Mathen says, I used to be the swine. Now I seek the priceless pearls. God's grace is past amazing, Senator. It is indeed, Allie. I think we've all been swine at one point. But I cannot imagine Allie from Athens ever being swine, just so you know. Ken from Harvest says, condolences on Auburn's loss to Alabama. At least you can get, here we go. At least you can get some comfort from Auburn's performance on the field. The only comfort I get from the Vandy UT game is knowing what a UT grad says to a Vandy grad, which is, good morning, boss.
Nice.
That is well played. Well played. I'll be honest with you. I watched the game. I know you said you got to see parts of it, but I watched it, and man, Auburn actually played up. They really played up. I mean, I was just sitting there thinking, where's this team been all season? And, you know, heartbreaking the way it went down. God, and that fumble on the end of the game at the punt with a minute to go, that's going to live in that kid's mind forever, like ever.
Probably live on the internet forever and ever as well.
Yeah, it will. His dreams of kick six went away with him dropping the ball and giving it back to Alabama for a last second win. But still, War Eagle.
Yes, that. War Eagle for sure.
Raven from Russell says, great monologue, Colonel. Makes me keep thinking about the Tree of Liberty. Indeed. Indeed, sir. Yep. John from Huntsville says, Phil, nice monologues. Only 1 week left of the Pick'em contest. I know, man. In fact, I got to look and see what I just dawned on me. We were traveling so much. I did a 14 and a half hour drive back yesterday. 14 and a half hour drive back yesterday. Did I mention it was 14 and a half hours in the car?
You considered, you know, flying?
I had a bad day on Pick'em, apparently. I'm changing the subject. Yes, I have. Yes, I have considered flying. We have flown before, but you couldn't pay me to go through a U.S. airport on Thanksgiving.
I'd rather drive.
Uh-uh. No. If you told me it was Thanksgiving with the kids, but I had to fly, I'd say, looks like we're having Thanksgiving a week late. Yeah. That's what I'd say.
Amen.
But I have moved up, by the way, in the Pick'ems, and I know you probably haven't been tracking. You're in the Pick'ems, though, aren't you?
No.
I thought you were.
I'm not a big sports guy. Sorry to let the listeners down.
I don't know what to say. I've moved up to 48th place. I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm now in the 40s. That should mean something. but, of course, number one is still John from Huntsville, followed quickly by McQueen. And Dedek has moved to number three with Boomer dropping to number four. Wow. All right. Hey, listen, we got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
put you on hold and we'll see if I get on here in a few minutes. We just want to break.
Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like, whoa, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I got a couple of texts and then somebody waiting on the line, so I'll do the text first and I'll jump to the phones. Leanne from Huntsville says, great open, Phil. I turned off the news for the entire holiday weekend on purpose. I didn't know about what happened at the parade. It's something, Leanne. It's amazing, but what petulance. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, every one of those students that basically was not a protester but a little terrorist, would they terrorize a teacher and destroy things? I would agree with that. JT from Lacey Springs says, by the way, he just chastised me. I just saw that. I talked about my 14 and a half hour drive. He goes, Phil, you pansy, I do 70 hours a week in the truck. Ha ha, 14 hours. I laugh at. Yeah, but do you do them just like consecutive in a little bitty car? Just anyway. Okay, Jeff. Mark from Red Bay says, saw a video of a guy protesting climate change of, at all places, an electric Formula One race. Glued his hand to the pavement on pit row before the race. Security had no mercy. Ripped his hand right off the pavement. Let me go to the phones real quick before I jump into the dippers. Thomas from Athens. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon, Colonel. A couple things. The parade, Macy's Day Parade, Alabama A&M, the first HBCU all-black band to lead the parade. None of the mainstream media covered it. A single one.
Yeah,
it took a New York station to cover it.
That's just disheartening. It shouldn't be that way, but you're right.
It should. Number two, I went to the Iron Bowl. My wife is a 36-year faculty retiree. It was the loudest that stadium has been. The men played up, and they played up, and we had one fumble, and there was Milroe magic mixed in.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, there were about 200 potential recruits there. And I think they got a taste of what the Auburn family is. So war eagle, sir.
Yeah, war eagle to that. I have heard more. I mean, I've been to a number of Auburn games myself, and you know, a lot of family been there. But I've heard that this particular game, the fever was high in the stadium. It was like it was an environment of its own.
No question. Amen to that, sir, Colonel.
All right. Take care. Appreciate your call. Thanks so much, Thomas. There you go. Hey, let me jump in here. So I'm doing this first section, and keep in mind, top of the hour, we got a call coming in from retired Major General, two-star, Joe Arbuckle, who had a long career dating back to from Vietnam through the 90s. He is now with an organization called STARS. They are all about the idea of fixing the problems that are driving readiness down right now. They are calling attention to wokeness in the military and things like the COVID vaccine mandates that disrupted our readiness and disheartened. In fact, let me just say, I'll address that real quickly. People that want to minimize the impact of the COVID-19 vaccine mandate on the military are unwilling to look at what it does to a overall team morale when something happens to one of the players. Let's say you're on the field let's call it the Iron Bowl again. Let's say you're on the field and your star player, the one you've been relying upon, rallying around, goes down with an injury. Or gets, I tell you what, how about a bad call that someone gets ejected from the game for? And you look at it, it's disheartening. You can't get your act together. You got to try and regroup. The person who used to rally you in the huddle is no longer there. Stuff like that matters, all right? It affects the overall team dynamic. Well, when you've got thousands of service members, thousands, like tens of thousands, requesting religious accommodations and being denied them, don't think that does not become a water cooler conversation, a foxhole conversation, an in-the-cockpit conversation. It becomes a thing. Hey, Joe, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, man, he applied for that religious accommodation. Well, I didn't want it, but why didn't he get it? They're blanket denying everybody. Really? Well, that sucks. Don't they care? And then you have those kind of conversations. It breeds original dissent, all right? People begin to recognize that someone higher doesn't care about people lower. And then next thing you know, you're seeing thousands of them being discharged from the service over something that maybe you did, but you're recognizing, oh, they got a legit claim. And then you have the commander-in-chief requesting that people create discord, blaming people, telling them that they're not worthy, telling them they're the reason for the pandemic. And so those that bought into the fear in the military are looking at those who didn't want the shot and wondering, why are you trying to get me hurt? The boss up there says that you're the reason why this is all happening. Next thing you know, all you've done is just disrupt readiness, create a divisive issue, destroy morale. And oh, by the way, some of these mass exits, you might say, well, like I said last week, you had the onesies and twosies leave here, there, and the other. Okay. Do you know what that does, though, to the broader community, especially when you have small, tight-knit units like the example we had last week was Navy SEALs? There's never more than about 2,400 to 2,500 SEALs on active duty at any given time. When you have 50 of those get out all at one time, most everybody in the special warfare community knows who they are. And you begin to recognize, oh, crap. We just lost the equivalent of two SEAL platoons. You know what that does to readiness in a small environment like that, in a close-hold type selective unit? It becomes extremely disruptive. Next thing you know, somebody else has got to cover down because those guys are gone. And then the ones who were waiting for their religious accommodations, oh, by the way, they're just, they're non-deployable. So we'll deploy you twice instead of them once. Okay. Story that I brought up last week that really began to bring this back to you're like, Phil, the COVID vaccine, man, it's old news. No, it's really not. You know why? Story here that I pulled this one from Fox News. It originated with an organization or a site called Task and Purpose, which I'm not a big fan of Task and Purpose. They're very negative military. It's like they all hate the military. Every one of them had a bad first sergeant at some point or something, and they're just, you know, still mad. Anyway. But the story here from Fox News dated last Wednesday. Army sends out a letter to troops that were dismissed for refusing the COVID vaccine amid the military's recruitment woes. No kidding. Wow. Okay. So we're going to give you an other than honorable discharge, which causes you to sacrifice the education benefits you thought you were in the service to obtain. Maybe impacts your ability to get a job post-service. Flags you for things like, I don't know, if you applied for a VA loan for your house. Other than honorable discharge is the scarlet letter you're carrying around with you at that point. Because when somebody wants to see your DD-214, it's branded on there, y'all. Well, so hey, we got rid of you, you know, like that other than honorable discharge. Sorry about that. We'd like to know if you want to come back. That's where we are. Army spokesperson confirmed this past Sunday. That the authenticity of the letter, it was legit. The spokesperson said the letter, dated November 1st, does not explicitly ask them to come back. It just says you can if you want to. Just so you know, doors open, wink, wink, nod, nod. The letter provides information to former service members also on how to request a correction of their military records. This is huge, by the way. If you know of anybody who went through this discharge process and wound up with an other than honorable, the Army has now sent letters out to soldiers that were discharged for refusing to take the COVID-19, offering to help them correct their records. You need to do it. You may not want it now. 10 years from now, you may really wish you'd done it. Don't wait. Get it done while there's a momentum behind it, all right? Butters is nodding his head. Yeah, just absolutely, man. Get those records straightened out, right? Golly, bomb. But yeah, and here's the thing. The article from Fox points out the size of the active duty Army has now shrunk from 485,000 in 2021 to 452,000 right now. Y'all, that's in just 2 years. In just 2 years. By the way, all Biden administration years. In just 2 years, we have dropped by an estimated somewhere in the neighborhood of 33,000 people. That's the Army alone. Mm. 33,000. That's like multiple divisions. This is the smallest active duty Army since 1940. In 2022, they missed their recruitment goal by 15,000 soldiers. This crisis has necessitated changes made to policy, including the removal of a policy that mandated recruits have a high school diploma or GED equivalent. So now you can come in, and they're having to lower the standards. They're having to broaden their scope. They're having to ask people to please come back. Well, I got an article here that I just really appreciate this. So Senator Eric Schmidt, a Republican from Missouri, I've got a copy of his letter here. I'm looking at it. The story was run on Fox also, and this on his letterhead, he is asking the DOD, I take it back, he's asking the Secretary of the Army, Christine Warmoth, the one who I've said several times needs to resign. Christine Warmoth was asked by Senator Eric Schmidt whether or not they intend to bring people back and give them a reinstatement at existing or then existing rank and reinstate their benefits and their pay. Are you going to back pay them is basically what he's asking. He wrote, "These mandates certainly harmed our military's readiness. They tragically destroyed the careers of thousands of brave volunteers. These members have faced negative implications for veterans' benefits and employment outside the military. It's likely most of those former members would never return to the military and serve our nation." He went on to ask them, "Are you going to let them rejoin at their, you know, previous ranks, and are you going to let them rejoin with back pay?" He's requested that they answer him by December 13th. But then in a minute, I'm going to tell you, the Army did a poll. Oh, boy. They did a poll. It was quite the sales pitch. And the poll is what they say that recruits are really out there thinking. It's the kind of thing you look at and go, well, first of all, any of y'all that ran this poll, don't look for a job in sales. But secondly, if this is the way you're going to poll people, you're never going to get anybody. Let me grab this phone right quick. Brian from Huntsville. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Colonel. And good to hear Butters in there.
Yeah.
But real quick, as far as the people maybe coming back based on not getting the inoculations, are they under restrictions right now for being discharged under less than honorable circumstances from buying new firearms? I'm curious about that because they were all sworn in to protect that same Constitution.
Yeah, I don't think so. If somebody knows differently, I would let us know. But I don't think so, Brian. I think you have to have a felony conviction with a discharge. If you had a dishonorable discharge, it could be for grounds that would affect your firearm possession. But I don't think that other than honorable, which is just basically like saying you really did a bad job when you're here, and we don't want to give you good credit. That's all that really means, but it impacts your benefits. I know that.
Well, otherwise, all us Army people and everything thank Butters and everybody else in the Navy, and also everybody in the Air Force for getting us where we need to go. It is appreciated.
And sometimes on time.
Yes.
That was a jive.
Bye. All right, man. See you, Brian. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm in this section right now. The first dipper is called Building the Force. Listen, when I get back, you're going to want to hear about this poll that was done. That basically, if you read this correctly, what it basically means is the Army is trying to tell you that every kid out there is too scared to leave mommy to join the military. That's what the poll says. I'm not buying it. I'm not. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so hey, I see a bunch of y'all texting in, by the way. I'm going to get to those text messages. Some of them I can see are right on point, and I'm going to jump on them here in a few minutes, probably after that phone call we have with the general. But I want to get this out before the top of the hour. So I got an article here from the AP. Headline. This is the AP. Like, okay, I'm really not sure. This is like a self-own right here. I'm really not sure that this is coming across like the AP's wanting to, hey, everybody needs to understand it's not really about wokeness. It's not. What it really is we did a poll, and young people are scared of getting dead, and they're scared of, you know, they don't want to deal with stress. And listen, I don't know how you polled this thing, but if that's your poll, answer yes or no. Would you be concerned with dying? Or answer yes or no. Would you prefer to have a job that has stress in it or no stress? Or for that matter, answer yes or no. Would you call having to join the military putting your life on hold? Well, if you're coming back with answers like that, then it automatically tells me the polling was skewed. All right, polling can be manipulated. What you were trying to do was get to a poll that said things you wanted it to say so you could blame something else. The military does not want anyone to believe for a second that a part of the recruiting effort's problems are vested in the military itself. All right? They are. Current leadership should be ashamed. And the very idea, by the way, what a sales pitch. Here's what it says, story off the AP. While some Republicans blame the COVID-19 vaccine or wokeness for the Army's recruiting woes, the military service says the bigger hurdles are more traditional ones. Young people don't want to die or get injured or deal with the stress of Army life and put their lives on hold. So, okay, let me, how about this? Go ask a kid. How about do it this way? Would you like to know at the end of your life that you looked back on your time and you said, I was death-defying? Okay, there's a different way of saying it, right? How about this? Would you like to look back at the end of your days and say, I recognize that some stress in life is good because it made me a better man, better woman? There's that. How about this? Pull it this way. Would you like to see the world and spend some time growing a resume that 94% of your peers never will have? Oh, or you could just say, do you really want to put your life on hold? Aren't you scared of dying? You could poll it that way. And what are you going to get? Here's an idea. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth, by the way, says the Army has set a difficult goal for themselves this year. They want to bring in 65,000 recruits. They're failing at that, by the way. And here's this. Officials said that based on the surveys, young people just don't simply see the Army as a safe place or a good career path. It's not meant to be a safe place. If you want them to have a safe place, they can go do something far more benign in a different... there is not a branch of the service. I'm even giving credit to the Navy right now, Butters. There's not a branch of the service where you can look at it and go, it's designed to be a safe place. Don't you need your safe place?
Well, it's certainly a lot safer than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? Game on if China goes to Taiwan.
I mean,
or game on if Iran goes nuclear. They said today they've got the capacity to build multiple nukes with what they already have in hand.
That's ridiculous. People want a challenge, and there are tons of young people that rise to that challenge and love it and live it every day, even though we sit around and complain about it.
How about this? How about they target their recruiting? How about you? You need more airborne infantrymen? Go ask those guys on the football team how they feel about living a life of hard knocks and being on a team doing something bigger than themselves. How about if you need more cybersecurity specialists, you find the kids who are just geeking out on computers in high school, or go to the ones who are on the, you need more intel guys? Go find the kids that are on the, what's the name of the quiz bowl? Or for that matter, you need kids who want to fly, Civil Air Patrol kids or something. There's all kinds of ways to recruit.
The frustrating thing is, and I don't know what, you know, I guess you got to do polls and all that kind of stuff, but go talk to the E5s. You want to know what the heck's going on and why we're having struggling?
Yeah.
Like, go find, you know, a bunch of polling of E5s.
I'm saying. And you want to change the world? Find you an E4, put hard stripes on him, make him a corporal, and set him loose. You'll find out what's up. All right, coming right back, we're going to have a phone call here with Major General Joe Arbuckle. Get his thoughts on where we're headed right now with readiness, wokeness, and all of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, we cover down solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm pleased to welcome somebody back to the show who's been on with us, I guess this is probably the third or fourth time at the very least. But Major General Joe Arbuckle has a great career, entered the Army as an enlisted man in 1969, went to Officer Candidate School, became a combat engineer, deployed to Vietnam, spent time with as a advisor to the South Vietnamese Army, attended Ordnance Missile Systems, spent a lot of time, and I believe some of it here at Redstone Arsenal in Alabama in the missile field, and stayed in the Army 32 years, highly decorated, Bronze Star for Valor with two Oak Leaf clusters, Combat Instruments Badge, Army Parachutist Badge. He's in the Material Command Hall of Fame, and he's on Right Side Radio right now. General Arbuckle, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Colonel Phil. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. Hey, thanks so much for making time today. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
We did. We had a good time, and hopefully the same for you and your family.
We did. Yes, sir. Absolutely. It was, aside from the long driving, it was a great time. But, hey, sir, let me ask you. I've been just the last 30 minutes or so just hammering the questions of readiness, looking at the fact that just in the last week we learned that the Army is inviting people back if they got DX'd because of the COVID vaccine. And then I see, you know, stuff that I hadn't even touched on yet right off of your website. By the way, I didn't say it, but the general is involved with an organization called STARS. It stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. But, sir, give us your thoughts. I mean, where are we headed right now on recruiting, retention, readiness?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Phil. First, let me talk about that letter you just mentioned, because I got a copy of it last week. And after reading it, I thought it was a fake, frankly, because it was it just seemed unprofessional to me, and I'll give you some specifics here. First of all, it wasn't dated at the top. I mean, any major letter that goes out that announces a big policy change like that ought to have a date at the top. I'm old school on that particular part. And then when I go down to the bottom and look at who signed it, it's the it's Brigadier General Rampey, who's the Director for Military Personnel for the Army, which is appropriate. However, she did not put a personal handwritten signature on there, which is normally the way it's done. Now, in all fairness, perhaps she was out of the office and wasn't able to do that, but big letters like that are normally personally signed. Instead, it was an electronic signature for her on the letter. And then I looked at the top, and this continued to cause me to be suspicious the way it was worded. It's addressed to Dear Former Service Member, and of course it's going out to Army former service members, and it says, "We write to to notify you of a new Army guidance. Well, who's the we in this thing? It's signed by a person. It's not signed by a we. So, again, I thought I had to dig into it. I did quite a bit of checking. We found out, yes, in fact, the letter is legitimate. But there's two things in here that strike me as being hollow, disingenuous, and so on. The first part of it, and actually three-quarters of it, says we're writing to let you know that because of the change in the COVID vax policy, if you want to get your official military records corrected, you can do that by going to these websites. Well, there's no new information there. That's always been the case. And here's the problem. As I understand it, in order to correct your official military records once you're out, that can be a 1-2 year process or even more. It's very laborious, time-consuming. Instead of establishing some kind of a streamlined effect here for these individuals who were kicked out as a result of refusing the vax based on religious grounds, they're just being told to go through the normal process. Yeah, I don't think that's right. And then down at the bottom, the last little paragraph says, if an individual desires to come on to active duty, go see your local recruiter. No mention about back pay, any other remedy that should be offered these service members. And by the way, in STARS last February, we went to a lot of effort to establish a list of vax harm remedies, and which should be considered by the Department of Defense. We did send this to some political representatives, and Senator Smith has picked up on that. I think you mentioned that earlier, such as if somebody wants to come back on back pay or go back on active duty, how about the back pay and allowances, and also expunge their records of any negative personnel actions that may be in there as a result of the reprimand. How about reinstating their rank and count the lost time toward promotion and retirement, you know, time in service, time in grade, things we understand. And also for the reserve component personnel, restore the lost service days and points counted toward their retirements and promotion, and on and on and on, things like that that were not mentioned or not offered in this official letter going out from the Department of the Army. I also want to mention, too, one size doesn't fit all regarding those that were affected by the vax mandatory policy, Phil. We have that one category, those that were kicked out. The numbers, you know, that I've seen anywhere from 8,100 to 8,400 across all services. That's one group. What about those that were kicked out and want to remain discharged? Well, their records, in the case of the Army, for the most part, have general discharges under honorable conditions. And as I heard you mention earlier, that's not good. And that ought to be automatically corrected unless there's some disciplinary action that was associated with their discharge. Yeah. And that becomes a different matter,
yeah,
obviously. Third category, how about those who refuse a vax, not discharge? They're still on active duty. Well, we've heard stories of various kinds of retribution that were taken against those people still on active duty. Letters of reprimand, counseling statements, negative personnel actions, not allowed to attend schools or maybe be considered for promotion, and so on and so on. And all that ought to be readdressed and corrected as remedies. And finally, VA, we put into this matrix I'm quoting from right now that we put together in STARS, for those that were physically harmed as a result of taking the vaccine. And we've seen more and more evidence of that being the case, myocarditis and things like that. So we're suggesting that anybody that's experiencing those kind of problems that may be associated with taking the vaccine ought to be seen by VA under a condition of presumption of disability, just like we had for Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Wow, yeah.
And now you may be, yeah, you may be familiar with a new program VA has called PACT. And basically, it addresses any service member who was exposed to a toxic substance, to include burn pits in the Mideast and Agent Orange. Well, if the vaccine were considered to be toxic because of the damage it's done, that perhaps it could be included in this VA program. So that's our list of remedies that we're working with.
Well, that's huge, and I hadn't even thought about the VA connectivity there. I thought about it for things like the other than honorable, and maybe impacting your VA loans and that kind of thing. But yeah, the medical, I hadn't thought about the presumption of injury. Let me ask you this, sir. I made a comment earlier that when you see the attempt to downplay the impacts of, let's just take the COVID vaccine discharges. When you see the attempt to downplay from the liberal side or the COVID vax, you know, evangelists saying that it had to happen, and okay, when you see them try to downplay it, to me they're totally disregarding the fact that what they also did was not just discharge 8,400, but they created a ripple effect through the ranks that had an impact upon morale, upon recruiting. I mean, it has a distressing effect upon the overall rank structure. It even creates division with the way they were presenting it. Your thoughts on that as a former combat leader?
Right. I absolutely agree with you. I have the pleasure of commanding every rank I've had, so I'm quite familiar with the way the troops react to different situations. And what you're describing there accurately, Phil, is it erodes the trust and confidence that the troops have in their chain of command. Because one of the most important things a commander in particular and leaders in general have to do is take care of the health and welfare of their troops and the families as well. Mm. And when they see actions happening like the vaccine, which they're quite well aware of in terms of the effects and so forth, and they get the feeling that, my leadership, particularly at the very top, is not really interested in my best welfare in this thing, and it does undermine that trust and confidence, which is essential for the warrior spirit and war fighting readiness.
Well, I completely agree, and I'm glad to hear you say it that way. And sir, I guess with the few minutes we got left here, I mean, one of the things that really strikes me is before you came on, I was talking about a survey that the AP was touting that the Army had done, and it basically said that there's basically a whole generation out there that is scared of dying, scared of the stress of Army life, doesn't want to put their lives on hold, they say, quote unquote, to join the military. My experience has been, if you give them the sense that they're going to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and that perhaps it'll be death-defying even, that you'll attract those kids nonetheless. But right now, I feel like what they're trying to say is, it's not us, it's the kids.
Well, precisely right, and that's not true. I agree with you. If you want proof of that, just look at the Marine Corps. They have no problem with recruiting. In fact, they're exceeding their recruiting quotas right now, as I understand it, whereas the rest of the services, particularly the Army, are in desperate trouble now regarding recruiting. It's a worse situation since 1973 when the volunteer draft began. And it's all about wokeness, in my opinion. It's not about anything else, about the generation being afraid to come in and risk their lives. It's all about the woke crap that's going on. And that's supported by, and I recommend that you and your audience look at this, a very in-depth study done by the Heritage Foundation released on 31 March of this year. For 5 months, they studied through an independent panel on military services and readiness, these very things. And the results of their polls and surveys were quite revealing. One of the things that came out of this was that from the Army Recruiting Command, and this is a surprise to me, 79% of the people who come into the Army are in some way related to a family member, father, yeah, brother, son, whatever. And they were recommended. So that heritage of people serving in the military really is related to family connections, not to anything else. And that same group right now, because of the diversity, equity, inclusion, woke stuff that's happening, was very reluctant to recommend to their kids that they come into the military based upon what's happening. And that's a big factor right now in recruiting, I'm sure.
It really is, sir. And I tell you, and I hate that we're pretty much out of time, but the reality is, too, I actually did a feature on that same report you're talking about a few weeks ago, and I made the point that Army Secretary Christine Warmoth, who has just presided over failure at every step, it seems like, but Secretary Warmoth said that she does not want to have legacy members of the military because she's afraid it will create what she calls a warrior caste, which I'm thinking, Well, that's what we want as a warrior cast. You want people who saw something they admired in their own family members, and they want to be a part of it. Why would we not want that?
Exactly. I read that about a month ago, Phil. I couldn't believe what she said. And to follow on that, she said, well, we're going to change our recruitment strategies right now to move away from that warrior cast system and go into different demographic areas to try and attract recruits. That's exactly the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, it's exactly the wrong thing to do.
We ought to be doing is encouraging those family connections to continue, because that's what we've had in our military for generations, and it's been very, very successful.
Well, and when I pinned wings on my son, they had a second generation jumper ceremony before they did the main ceremony, and because it matters, having that generational effort is really something to be proud of. Hey, sir, as always, you clarified points quite well. We appreciate your time and the work that STARS is doing, and thank you for making time for us today.
My pleasure, Phil, and thanks for all the great work you're doing.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, that's Major General Joe Arbuckle. He's with an organization called STARS. You can find it. There's two R's, by the way, STARRS.US. That's their website, STARS.US. And you can find them there. That stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. This is an organization, by the way, that is designed and intended to do exactly what they're saying. Retired senior officers and enlisted who were basically out there fighting for the services they enjoyed being a part of and wanted to see it restored. Check them out, stars.us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of that. We'll be right back. You build when you're, not on the field, right? And granted, there's always some building during the fight. But the time to build is when you are at an opportunity to build. And we're in that opportunity right now, and we better do it. I mean, just today, the news headlines a moment ago, 76 separate attacks on military, U.S. military in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East right now, just in the last few weeks. 76. Yesterday, in fact, and maybe even today, actually, parts of it, a U.S. Naval, I think it was a destroyer, had to interdict when Houthi terrorists, by the way, the Biden administration won't call them terrorists, seized a Israeli-owned vessel, like an oil tanker, and then the U.S. Navy interdicted, captured them. What happened? All I'm told in the headlines is, Houthi rebels fired two ballistic missiles from the shore at the U.S. destroyer. That's an epic escalation right there. Now, I don't know what they're counting as a ballistic missile, but nonetheless, I look at it and think they fired some type of surface-to-sea missile that, that indicates, first of all, they have a class of warfare capability that maybe we didn't know, and now we're looking at the risk to U.S. naval forces because they're willing to fire them. In the meantime, you got stuff like this. I pulled this off the STARS website. The Biden administration is now defending West Point's race-conscious admissions policy. You may recall just recently the Supreme Court of the United States struck down the idea of colleges using race-based admissions. But for some reason, the service academies are exempt from that. So the DOD is pushing right now, pushing, even fighting back against a lawsuit that would require them to do away with race-conscious admissions at West Point. And I look at this and go, they say they want to recruit a more diverse officer corps. The way you do that is say, everyone's welcome if you can meet the standards. That's all you got to say. We're not going to deny you if you meet the standards. But you don't go recruit based upon skin color. You don't go recruit based upon gender. You recruit based upon the meritocracy that the military is supposed to stand for. All right, I'll be getting a bunch of text messages here in a moment. And then heading on into number two of the Triple Dipper, Thugs and Liars. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. We go like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Listen, I tell you what, man, you hear those ads playing during the break. I gotta pause and just say something about that. So I was thinking this morning, sometime soon, I want to spend some time, maybe even doing a whole dipper on why am I doing this? Why am I doing this show? Well, and first of all, one of the things that I'll say about it right now, just to this particular moment, because there's a whole story behind why I'm doing it. There's a lot of sentiment behind why I'm doing it. But Right Side is actually a business. It's a standalone business. We're not owned by the stations that you listen to us on. We are a standalone entity, and like every other business in the world, we got to have the revenue streams that support what we do, and one of the ways that we do that is by selling ads. We're also a 501c3, so there are people that support what we do charitably. You're welcome to do that, but if you listen to the show, though, and you're thinking, man, Williams says there's like over 30,000 ruffians out there a week that listen to the show, that's true. They might buy my goods and services because I got a Right Side ruffian-owned business. Well, that's true, too. The way you do that is advertise on the show, and the way you do that is contact us directly. You don't call the station, you call us. So you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, that's rightsideradio.org, click on the advertising and contact tab, and just send us a message. We would love to talk to you about whether you want to be a team member with Right Side Radio. Yeah, rightsideradio.org, advertising, send us a message, we'll jump on it. All right, I got to catch up on some text messages there, Butters. I mean, this is like getting away from me, man. Apparently we hit a nerve or three. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised.
Kevin from Hartsel wants to know, is the Boomer McQueen segment going to be Butters and Lee? I don't know. We'll work that out. We're not. I cannot guarantee at this point. But Kevin, thank you for inquiring, and appreciate the fact that you know the show well enough to even ask, man. Brian from Decatur. COVID is used for control, nothing less. I am not arguing the point. In fact, I saw something the other day that said there's movement afoot in some places to request masking be put back in place. What would you do? And my response was a gif of the one knight standing in front of the rampaging hordes coming after him, just drawing his sword. That's where I feel about it. Leanne from Huntsville, if my texter will update. Come on there, texter. Well, Butters, my texture just went down. There it is. She's referring back to my monologue earlier and talking about the Alabama A&M band being in the parade. Says, great open, Phil. I turned off the news. Oh, I think I read this, didn't I? But she also said she hopes that what happened with the protesters didn't tarnish the A&M band members' experiences or their memories. I would agree. I don't think it did. I think they're good to go. Gary from Decatur says, I don't know, Phil. As you said earlier last week, we were the guinea pigs for the anthrax shots in the 90s. Yes, we were. I wasn't a fan, but when Captain Kelly, soon to be Admiral Kelly, showed up in the hangar bay to support crews and took the first shot, we at least were reassured he wasn't ordered to do anything he wasn't doing. I get that. Senior leaders better be in line first. They'd better. That's why, you know, for all his warts and blemishes, I will say this, at least Biden's been willing to get, you know, vaccinated and boosted 19 times. Usually on camera. Okay. Didn't stop you from getting COVID, though, did it, boss? He's not my boss. I can't do that again. Don't ever let me make that.
Yeah, I got out long before that was an issue.
I don't blame you. Jeff from Indiana. Man, this texture is moving slow today. Every time I try to change it, it starts recycling. I may not get through this thing before the break. Okay. I'll say this. Jeff from Indiana texted me something. Okay, here it is. He says he believes, I see what's happening. You know, part of the problem here is this thing is like sending half a text at a time, and then it's sending me the other half later. I already read. Anyway, y'all don't want to hear my machinations.
It's an Army cyber attack. That's probably what's going on. You need to
tread lightly. All I know is the Navy's over there pushing the buttons. That's what I know right now. Steve from Huntsville says, oh, yeah, I saw this. He says, Colonel, have you seen where active service members are getting out of the service right now or being charged for their personal service gear that they were ordered to leave behind during the debacle of the Afghan pullout? He says one Army member posted on YouTube that he was being charged almost $4,000 for gear he was ordered to leave behind. I did see that, Steve, and it's outrageous. And by the way, I have been through, anybody who's been through CIF, Central Issuing Facility, anybody who's been through CIF knows what a scam that place is. I can tell you right now, as a field grade officer, I had to stand my ground against, you know, stupid stuff like a pair of gloves that they took back from me and then wanted to charge when I got further down the line. No, I just handed it to that guy. Oh, I don't remember that. Yeah, you do. You signed my paper. Oh, you didn't sign my paper. Anyway, all said and done, yes, there was an E-4 82nd Airborne guy, deployments, wearing his jump wings and CIB, distraught, decided, he said, I would not normally do this, but I got to post this. He said, he said that chaotic pullout of Afghanistan, we were ordered to leave gear behind. And I asked the question, what's going to happen when they try to charge me for this later? And they said, we'll make it up to you. We'll do a flipple, which is what you call it when you're, you know, trying to write off equipment, and it'll all wash. Well, now they're charging him $3,600, like basically it's going to exceed his paycheck to get out.
So as the non lawyer sitting here, I know I'm not a big fan of lawsuits, and I know that most of us that have served, like, that's the last thing we would think about. But some of this stuff is getting to the level. If you come across anybody that's filing suit in any of this?
There's been plenty of the COVID suits, you know, that those were on the question of, you know, making you pay for your gear. I think that's an IG complaint. I don't think you can get a lawsuit out of it. But yeah, if he can find the person who ordered him to leave it behind, he should be golden. But, you know, pull out of Afghanistan was 2 years ago. Where's that person now? That chain of command may be completely disrupted and gone. But yeah, I did see that, Steve from Huntsville. Thank you for the text. Kimball from Harvest says, soldiers will do their duty and obey orders, whatever they may be, as long as they understand that their chain of command has their best interest and welfare at heart. Goes all the way to the top. That's a trust that's been broken. I'm not arguing. Raven from Russell says, Colonel, says, sir, both you and the general hit the nail right square on the head. There are no rainbows, roses, and unicorns in combat. Ask me how I know. Raven, I know how you know. Thank you for your service, brother. Joe from Birmingham, if you want peace, prepare for war. Yes. What is that Latin phrase? It's actually tattooed on John Wick's back. I remember that. I'm going to find that Latin phrase. But Joe, appreciate you, man. John from Brownsboro. How's that kick six looking right now? I don't like you anymore, John. Thank you for the text. Mark from Madison is brand new in the text lines. Appreciate you being a part of the show. Mark, he says, what about the question of Army civilians and DOD employees who were, you know, and even contractors, I would guess, who were forced to take the vaccines, who may be subject now to after effects? I would say that some of them may have a potential lawsuit easier than someone in service, just so you know.
And that's going to hit a lot of people up in the Huntsville area.
So. Oh, it is. And I said earlier on the show, like a while back on the show, I see 10 years from now, there's going to be mass tort litigation. Same as there was for Agent Orange. There's going to be two major mass tort litigations. One's going to be kids who adults let them get surgically altered for transgender, you know, therapies. And they're going to look at it and go, why'd you do that to me? That's going to be one mass tort litigation. The other one's going to be people who are reacting to being forced to take a vaccine they didn't want. It's one thing to voluntarily do it. You're going to have to prove that they lied to you. It's another to be forced to do it. Gary H., just off the bus route to go Army beat Navy. John from Huntsville says, Butters is currently doing a fantastic job today.
I appreciate that, John.
He may wind up having a grade for you that you'll appreciate later. And then Brian from Huntsville says, we need a warrior cast. Sheepdogs, not coyotes, not the gerbils they seem to want. And then he says, by the way, he says, the text message should be short and concise. It's our fault, not yours. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you.
Calm brevity. Calm brevity. Let's get it going.
All good. All right. Tell you what I'm going to do. Butters, I got to quit saying Boomer. Butters, I'm going to take the break. If you don't mind, go ahead and ready it up. Start playing when you're ready. But I'm going to go ahead and take the break about a minute and a half early so I can come back and jump into my next dipper. Thugs and Liars. It's just, man, anybody trying to excuse these Hamas thugs and liars needs a rethink. Or for that matter, go keep them for 51 days down in a tunnel somewhere after they've been raped and watched their parents killed. Let's see how they feel about them then. Take it to the break, Butters. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back from the break, and then we will, move into dipper number two. But this one's gotten under my skin. I mean, not like a little bit, like a whole lot. And it's just, you'll see. I got stories on this. Like the kind like where you look at it and go, who does that? I'll tell you who does it. Thugs and Liars. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.